Let us pray. Gracious Father, we just want to thank you for your nearness and love. Thank you for your presence with us. Help us always to be ready to come when you call us, wherever you may lead, and help us to know that nothing can ever separate us from your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some words from the scripture reading this morning, John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 19. Late that Sunday evening, when the disciples were together behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood amongst them. Jesus came and stood amongst them. It's so often and rightly said that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a historical fact. And that is vital if we're to claim that the gospel is true. But let us remember that Easter doesn't simply celebrate an historical fact, the fact of the resurrection and the empty tomb. Vital as these facts are, let us remember that Easter is concerned supremely with a living person, the person of the risen, all-conquering Lord. In a word, the message of Easter is not about something, it's about someone. On the evening of the first Easter Sunday, Jesus came and stood amongst them, came and met with his disciples. And the familiar story, which forms today's gospel, makes plain for all time the difference, yes, the difference that Jesus Christ makes. Now, what difference does Easter make? Our text reminds us, first of all, about the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus stood amongst them. You see, Easter makes the presence of Christ a reality. Surely, his appearance to disciples on that Sunday evening must have caused them a good deal of astonishment. They had carefully bolted the doors of the upper room that day because they were terrified of what the Jewish authorities might do to them. You see, such an extraordinary thing had happened in the course of that day. Early in the morning, the tomb had been found empty, and no trace of the body of Jesus could be found. Some of their number actually claimed that they'd seen him alive. Of course, we may be sure that Caiaphas, the high priest, and his colleagues were not a little disturbed at this course of events. They were probably threatening action against the disciples, accusing them of having stolen the body from the tomb. No wonder, when they met together that evening, the disciples took great care to lock themselves in. But remember, no locked door can keep Jesus out. And all at once, he was there in their very midst that day. No doubt he had been with them all the time. And now he unveiled his presence to them. And then we're told that when the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. His promise to them before his passion was thus fulfilled in John 16 and verse 22. Before the crucifixion, we hear him promise, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." You see, Easter assures us that Christ is present with us always, even though now we do not see him. And his presence brings us, as Paul says, brings us joy. Too great for words. Joy, because he's alive. And because this is so, joy, because we have assurance that our sins are forgiven if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy that we can share our whole life with him, everything that happens to us. And he knows and he cares. And then he's with us at every moment. Every moment of our lives. gives us eternal life too. A new quality of life that lasts forever. Yes, Jesus came and stood among them, and listen, he does the same for us in our lives today as well. He's here in our midst right now. But have we done anything about it? Have we asked him into our lives and asked him into our hearts? But listen, it's the most vital question that there is to ask. Maybe you think I talk a lot about it, but it is the most vital question that there is. Have you given your life to him? Have you confessed your sins to him? Have you asked him into your heart and life? You see, because he is alive, we can meet him for ourselves. And it's wonderful. He's here with us. But have we responded to his gracious invitation to come to him? I wonder. If we do, it means that we experience the assurance that he's with us always. Always. Now, tomorrow. And when he takes us to be with him in glory. I remember reading about a Christian group who were on a tour of the Holy Land, like we were last Easter. And on Easter Sunday morning, they attended an amazing service, which is believed to be, it was an amazing service, held at what is believed to be the site of the crucifixion and the garden tomb. The young Arab Christian guide who showed them around had this to say. I'm not sure where the actual site of the tomb is. I'm not sure where Jesus was buried exactly. But one thing I can say, and it's this. I know Jesus Christ as a living reality in my life today. I know Jesus Christ as a living reality in my life today. Can you say that? Are those words real for you? The experience of Christ with us, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives, is the first difference that Easter makes. And then the second difference is the peace of Christ in our hearts. Now, we heard about it in the reading. We heard about it as we prayed, as Beryl prayed this morning. And that's what the Lord wants us to have, his peace in our hearts. I wonder if you ever noticed that the first word that the risen Lord spoke to the anxious, frightened men in the upper room that first Easter was, peace be with you. Peace, shalom, was the customary Hebrew greeting in those days, and it means, I wish you every goodness and blessing in your life. But these words on the lips of the risen Christ, the word shalom, now had a quite special meaning. His purpose in meeting with the disciples at that time was not simply to dispel their fears. But to give them a very special gift. He had promised it then to them before he died. In John 14, verse 16, he says, I am leaving you my peace. I do not give it to you as the world gives peace. Do not let your heart be distressed or afraid. Now, this peace is independent of outward circumstances. It is, in fact, the peace of forgiveness, our deepest need of all. If our sins have not been forgiven, how can we have peace? You see, we've been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, dying in our place and shedding his blood for us. And as a result of this wonderful fact, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And if we do, were accepted and redeemed and given new life. This salvation was purchased at such a great price. For having said the greeting, peace be with you, notice what he did then. He showed them something. He showed them his hands and his side. God, the Old Testament told us, could not bear to look on sin. And only someone who was both God and man, dying in our place, could purchase our redemption. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Those wounds that we read about in verse 20 of chapter 20 of John's Gospel reveal the cost at which peace with God had been won. You see, it was the cross of Calvary that made peace possible. This is another difference that Easter makes. The Christ who suffered and died on the cross made atonement for our sins, defeated Satan and sin and death because he rose again. Yes, Christ made peace with God for us, and we can have that peace in our hearts and lives because of Calvary. As the old hymn, Peace, Perfect Peace, puts it, peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers, peace within. Yes, Jesus Christ made peace, and with that peace, by the blood of his cross, if we yield our lives to him. Yes, Jesus Christ is with us. He gives us his peace. And then Easter means something more. The risen Christ not only reveals his presence to the disciples, fills them with his joy, and bestows on them his peace, he also entrusts them with a commission, a special job to do for him. And then he assures them of the power with which to fulfill that job too. As the Father sent me, he said, so I send you. He breathed on them, saying, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive any man's sins, they stand forgiven. And if you pronounce them unforgiven, they remain. Now, these are difficult words. I can't forgive someone else's sins, and neither can you. But I can share with others what the truth of the gospel actually is. Tell them about Jesus and his love by witnessing to them and encouraging them to come to Christ for forgiveness and cleansing. And it is as we do this that people's sins are forgiven. But was the Holy Spirit actually given then? If so, what about Acts 2 and Pentecost, when we read about the Holy Spirit coming in a special way on the disciples? In answer to these questions, the words and actions of Jesus here in John are best regarded as a piece of prophetic symbolism. They represent what is going to happen in the future. He is making clear to his disciples then as now that the supreme mission of the church is to preach forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations, and that it can only fulfill that mission in the power and the person of this promised Holy Spirit. Easter and Pentecost, Whitsunday, are here brought together in the closest relationship. The one ensures the gift of pardon. Easter ensures the gift of pardon and forgiveness. The other, Pentecost, the gift of power. Both are the gift of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before he ascended into heaven, the risen Christ said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Whether it's witness or some other form of service, the Lord will not ask you to do something that he will not give you his grace and strength and power with which to do it. He will empower you with the Holy Spirit if you ask him to fill you. But are you willing to do that? That's the question. What is God asking you to do for him today, I wonder? And remember, he has something for each one of us to do. Visit the old and the lonely. And surely there are lots of them about in this congregation. Visit the sick, new arrivals in the parish, be willing to help with provision that we're praying about and thinking about this morning, and especially in that very moving song that we've just sung. But whatever God is calling you to do, remember, He will give you the strength of His Holy Spirit with which to do it. Now, friends, Easter makes a tremendous difference to all our lives if we put our trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus came and stood amongst them. The wonderful thing is, Easter makes the presence of Christ a reality for us and is with us always. Precious, precious statement that is. Praise God that that's true. His words, "Peace be with you," and His showing of to His disciples His hands and His side, assures us that we've been saved and we've peace through the blood of His cross if we've yielded our lives to Him. And then He gives us His power and strength to live and work and witness for Him too. Today's Bible reading from John 20 tells us that at the heart of the resurrection is the message of the presence of Christ with us and in us, and so too is His peace and His power. Are all these things a reality for you in your life today? They can be. If you come to Him and make your personal commitment to Him, remember Jesus came and stood amongst them. He wants that to be your experience for the rest of your life too, and on into eternity as well. But it can only be true for you if you're cleansed and redeemed and forgiven by Him. Allow the peace that He brought about by the blood of His cross to be yours too by coming to Him, repentant and broken and confessing your sins and yielding your life to Him. You see, peace, real peace, is not to be found anywhere else except in Jesus. And then ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit to work and witness here in this parish alongside Garth and the leadership and serve others in His name and love them into the kingdom of God in the days ahead. That is the message of Easter. May it be a reality for you and for me. May it be a reality for you because you have a living, vital relationship with Jesus Christ in your life today. Yes, today. Don't put it off for a minute longer if you've never come to Christ. You may never get the chance to come again. And I say that gently, but so important. There's no one like Jesus. No life like a life that's yielded to Him and shared with Him. And my friends, may it be your personal possession. Because you've taken that step of faith and asked Him in. Lord Jesus Christ, we just thank You for all Your goodness and love. We praise You today that You're risen and alive and here with us. And Lord, if we need to do business with You, if we need to ask You into our lives, Lord, we pray that each one of us may do that right here and now. Not putting it off, not making excuses, saying someday. Now, today. And Lord, for those of us who are committed, draw us closer and nearer to You. Help us to grow in our relationship with You. Make us more like Jesus and give us a longing in our hearts to share Him with others. us today. In your precious name, Lord.